Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is BK 12 Education Talk Radio, and it is February 11th, 2021. Thanks for being with us today. As you know, we're now part of the American Consortium for Equity in Education over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. We are the center point, the epicenter for equity in pre-K-12 education. We invite educators, any educator, anyone interested in education, to join with us over there. It's an industry-supported consortium, so everything we do over there is free for educators. Our magazine is an online journal called Equity and Access is there. It's right on site. Click right through. You'll really enjoy that. And all our podcasts are over there. So join with us. It's free. We want your voice heard. All about equity. We're the only ones focusing on that in all K-12. And that's at ace-ed.org. And we got a fun show for you today. I really think I got my friend Nathan Stringy, who is he's a senior learning designer at Fielding International, the school design firm. Okay, and they design schools, learning spaces, all right? But they're very interested in the equity question and designing for equity, all right? So he recently led a series of webinars, seminars on the web about equity, okay? And we're going to talk about that with Nathan, okay? He led the charge, but he brought with him today, and I thank them for getting up so early, okay? It's 9 a.m. here. It's 6 a.m., wow, in California. Okay, Melissa Agudelo, I hope I pronounced that right, Melissa, who was the principal of the San Diego Met High School, all right? And what she brought with her Sophia Irvin, okay, which is a trick because Sophia is her daughter, but also a sophomore at San Diego Met High School. She's an aspiring filmmaker, and from what Nathan tells me, a magnificent storyteller. So we're going to find out about this mom and daughter who are going to be just incredible with us on equity. So without further ado, that was a good introduction. And again, 6 a.m. My God. Okay. Wow. Nathan, I don't care because you're in Minneapolis. You're in the Midwest, right?
That's right. Yep. I'm here in Minneapolis.
Yeah, I don't feel bad for you. It's 8 in the morning. But, Sophia, did your mother drag you out of bed? Or what's going on, Sophia? Thank you.
Thank you for having me, first of all. Yeah, it was definitely a little bit of a struggle, because especially with, you know,
We should devote the whole show to you in the honor of a teenager getting up at 6 a.m. to do this show. Your mom has to get up anyway. Hi, Melissa. You're the principal of the school.
Good morning.
You have to get up early. Good morning. I'm Larry.
Yes,
pleased to meet you both.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, my pleasure. And do you have your coffee? Are you all set?
Oh, I just took a sip.
Take another. Feel good. And keep the intravenous flowing in Sophia's arm for the entire show so she stays up. And then, of course, are you guys virtual, or are you working in person right now in school?
No, sir. We're totally virtual. We have no in-person time right now at all.
Okay. So, therefore, Sophia, as soon as we're done, go right back to bed.
I plan to.
Good girl. That's the spirit. That's what I like to hear. Okay. Nathan, okay. I want to start with you, my old friend, and talk about Fielding International, the school design, the architectural firm, okay, and put them into the equity side, because you did this series of webinars on the equity. But people would say, oh,
yeah.
Wait a minute, architectural firm? What's it got to do with equity? So just put that there, and then we'll bring Melissa and Sophia right back on. Go, you go.
Yeah, absolutely. So one, I would say that you called the equity series a series of webinars. I would call them a series of conversations that we had.
Thank you.
Throughout the country and with people throughout the world. It really is starting with listening, with people who are doing the equity work. And then you asked about how we at Fielding International work. We design learning ecosystems, connected learning ecosystems, which happen to have learning environments incorporated with them. But if
mm-hmm.
we're not thinking about that holistic picture of what is the vision for your school, and whenever we talk to people right now, equity is on the forefront of everyone's mind,
mm-hmm.
as it
good.
Should be, right? But you need to think about how do we create learning environments where every single kid has agency and is designed for well-being, and we give them opportunities to to address real problems in the world, attack real problems in the world, like social justice, understanding what the world has been and what they can do to contribute to the world that they want to be. And so we work with schools and teachers all over the world to build capacity and rethink the roles of teachers, the roles of students. And so these conversations that we held really were spotlighting some really amazing work that educational leaders like Melissa and students like Sophia are doing right now, that we're not waiting for some future learning ecosystem to emerge, that there are people doing this all over the world, this real equity work in education. So we really just wanted to spotlight some of those leaders from around the world, like Melissa and Sophia.
That is beautiful. And again, I always say this, we've pushed the can down the road kicked the can down the road for so long here. And meanwhile, other places are doing it now. Okay, mm-hmm. And they didn't pay the horrendous price that we paid during this pandemic. I'm not talking about health. I'm talking about education. Okay, and having to do things because they were already on top of things. And this is key stuff. And Nathan, then how did you find, before I bring them on the full blast here, how did you find Melissa and, of course, Sophia along with us?
Yeah, so that goes back to Tony Simmons, who's the executive director of High School for Recording Arts. They were our
I know Tony.
In this
I know
series.
Tony.
Yep, we were on before. And so Tony brought on his good friend, Carlos Moreno, who is just this amazing human being. And he's the executive director of Big Picture Learning Network, which is this huge, vast network. Larry, I don't know how much you know about Big Picture Learning, but they are an impeccable school network. You know nothing. So go check them out. In fact, they just had a great longitudinal study come out within the last several months that shows the impact of what they do, not only in the short term, but in the long term. It's an outstanding network. And so San Diego Met School is part of the Big Picture Learning Network. So it was Carlos' idea to bring Sophia on for the finale of our equity series. And then when we were talking about coming on to your show, Larry, he thought, hey, bring Melissa. She's this amazing, phenomenal principal at the school. So, yeah.
And let's wake her up at 6 a.m. Let's make it even worse for the poor young
woman. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, God. Right. Sophia, how old are you, if I may ask?
15, turning 16 next month, actually.
Happy birthday. Happy sweet 16.
Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. Okay. Are you drinking coffee? Does mother let you allow you to drink coffee? Because I suggested intravenously, but I'm curious what you're doing there. Are you staying awake?
She actually does. I love coffee, but
good girl.
A little too early for me this morning.
Okay. Good Californians. I like that. Okay. That's excellent. Okay. Okay. And Nathan, we'll talk more after the show about the Big Picture Learning Network. That's really interesting. Okay. So, Melissa, I want you now to brag a little bit, talk about San Diego Met High School. I'm not sure what the MET means. It might be Metropolitan. Okay. Tell us what that is and what that has to do with equity and how you and Nathan know each other so well. Go ahead.
Great. Thank you for having us again.
You're welcome.
So the Met does stand for Metro. You're right, Metropolitan.
There you go.
And the San Diego Met is named similarly to the original Big Picture School, which is the Providence, Rhode Island Met High School.
Got it.
A number of the schools that were opened explicitly with this design, in other words, they didn't transition to Big Picture, have this name. So there is a Sacramento Met. There's a number of us. And, you know, what I love about this school is I've been in education for 25 years. I started out a long time ago with Teach for America, actually, in 1995. And I began to really wonder about what we were doing, sort of pushing kids through curriculum and pushing kids towards what I felt were blind skills, right? Like skills that were just about them completing rote memorization tasks and being able to show some sort of proficiency on a test, but didn't necessarily translate into seeing kids change their reality. And what I love about what we do at the Met is it's all about kids realizing a choice-filled life in whatever that means for them. So, you know, I always get this question from parents when they find out about us, are you a college prep school? And my answer is, if that's the direction your child is going in to be able to create a choice-filled life, then we are.
I love that answer.
Yeah.
I love that answer.
Yeah. if what your child wants is to be able to take over the family business, and what they want is some community college courses in business, and they want to set themselves up, then we will help them towards that. It's about creating a vision and helping them get there, and in understanding how they can craft their life with their eyes wide open. They don't have to be victims of what ends up in front of them because nobody helped them seek their true, their self through their education. So, you know, it's easy for me to get Sophia out of bed to join you, not only because she's my daughter, but because she does come with that vision. You know, Sophia, I can't stop her from writing treatises for possible movies, or from, you know, taking the time to put together reels, or you know, this is just who she is. And what we would be robbing her if I put her in a succession of AP classes that were meant to teach her a volume of content that wouldn't necessarily speak to this vision she has.
I
so
love
is
this.
Content important? Of course it is. And, you know, she needs to be in classes. She needs to be learning. It grows her awareness. It grows her ability to write a great script. But she also needs to have a space where she's honored for the vision she has. And so that's what
exactly.
we do at the Met. Right?
Exactly.
That's what we do
at
the Met.
I love that. And, you know, I'll say that I have to say this because you said it a different way, but it's one of my catch things here. We have that phrase in K-12, and it's called college and career ready. You've heard that phrase.
Right.
Okay.
I have.
That phrase makes me nuts because it's a redundant phrase. Okay.
Yep.
Just eliminate the word college. We're just trying to get kids to be career ready. If that includes college, that's fine. Okay, but if you want to be a screenwriter and just go right into that, okay, and you might need some training in that, that's fine. If you want to be an electrician or a welder, that's good too. Or if you want to take over the dry cleaning business, that's good too. Okay, we're just trying to make kids career. I love the way you said that. I think it's just great. Can you describe the demographics of your school, just anecdotally? It doesn't have to be perfect, but are these kids from downtown San Diego, or who are these kids?
You know, we draw kids from all over, but we are about 60% free and reduced lunch. We are demographically very similar to San Diego County, just by happenstance. So we are about 47% Latino. We are about 8% African American, and then the remainder is a sort of a cross section of Asian and white. And I often get the question, like, you know, it's a diverse school. It's a diverse school. But the one thing that draws our kids together is they all want to do school differently. They all went to or experienced a comprehensive experience and said, this isn't pushing me. This isn't what I want. This isn't – and they have parents that are looking at their kid and saying, my kid needs to be supported in a different way. So, you know, high school 3 days a week, an internship 2 days a week where you're acting as a true apprentice, so you're not – you know, sometimes internships are sitting around, maybe answering the phone and getting to watch what's happening. We really insist that our internships have kids doing work that's really useful for the job site. Like, it's real work. And then being able to take community college classes, not just as part of a pathway or dual enrollment, but take any community college class you want and help and have that help refine and help you think about what it is you want to continue to do, right?
Wow.
Sometimes we incorrectly say, oh, you get to take community college classes for college credit. But what if you get to take community college credit classes because you're interested in culinary arts and you just
there
want
you go.
To?
I love
you know,
it.
What if you want to take a community college class because you are interested in taking over the family business and maybe an associate's is the right path for you? Okay, so let's get you working on that. And that's what we try to do. Personalized for every kid. What is it that you want? And then really deep, deep relationships with advisors that they have over 4 years who get to know them really well and who can help them craft their own vision and push when we need to push. Right? So for some students that might rest on their laurels a little bit, that deep relationship enables those advisors to say to the kids, hey, look, you know what, bud? You didn't get that internship because you were too nervous to speak up. So how about we go to a coffee shop for a semester and you learn a little bit better how to, right? You learn a little better how to speak to people. And then once you have that skill, I bet you're going to get that competitive internship. because our internships are competitive, right? And so they have to earn them. And it's a great way to talk about the reality of 21st century skills and those non-cogs without it being abstract.
There's a statistic I heard, and it was kind of anecdotal, but it was from a gentleman in Ohio who places students in work, and he said, people always get their job because of their hard skills, and invariably they get fired because they don't have the soft skills, which means
that
the soft
that
skills
quote.
Aren't so soft. Okay,
that's
that ability
right.
to converse, to get along, to listen, to understand, to coordinate with other people. I mean, it's that simple. Okay, and if you don't have that, okay, you're going to lose your job. Doesn't matter if you understand calculus. Okay, if you're a jerk, you're going to lose your job. Okay, and it's not
you
good.
Know,
so I mean, go ahead, please, Melissa. We got to get to Sophia, who's falling asleep already, saying to herself, why did she get me up at 6 at 5:45 when he hasn't even gotten me going?" So you go ahead, you go with another minute, then we're going to your daughter. Go ahead.
Okay.
And speak.
Okay. Well, the last thing I was going to share was just a really small anecdote, and that is that just to prove your point, we took two students to interview at a UCSD lab. And one of the students we knew had very, very high-level mathematics and coding skills, but interpersonally really struggled. And the other young lady, Latina young lady, had a lot of interest in the subject but was still growing her skills, but dynamic speaker. She got the position. And the lesson,
there you go.
Right? And the lesson there was, the guys at UCSD said, she's a great communicator. We can teach her.
Yeah.
The other kid, we're not sure that he's going to work with us. So the other kid, we were able to really grow that skill in him. But it's just an example of exactly what you just said, right? Hard skills might get you the job, but it's the soft skills that let you keep it.
Right. And it's so key what you said, that, and I want to talk to you about this a little bit later in the show, but how do you don't answer now, but I want you to think about how do we find those educators that work at San Diego Met who can do what you say? Because most educators are trained to teach a subject. And you're asking them to do a lot more, okay, on this road to equity, on this road to access to a career, okay? It's that simple. So think about that, but I want to go over to Sophia. Good morning again, Sophia. Future filmmaker. Right, Sophia?
Hi. Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, call me Larry. And I, by the way, I would be an excellent aging actor if you got somebody for a role. I just want to throw that in there, okay? Look, someone wise. Incredibly good looking, that sort of thing. Okay, who can pay, like the leader of a planet or something. Okay, all right. All right. So just keep that in mind as we move forward with this. Okay, I want to ask you this, and I love the way your school is allowing you to do this. But are you literally trying to talk about your thoughts of becoming a future filmmaker? I love that inspiring filmmaker. Go ahead, just talk about that.
Yes. Yeah, So, actually, I wanted to be a filmmaker since about eighth grade, since middle school. So, actually, before I came into high school, I knew what I wanted to do. And my love for it has only grown as I've gotten older. So, what I want to do right now is, eventually go to film school once I graduate, and I'd love to work in Hollywood as, a screenwriter, a cinematographer, or even a director, and, work with filmmakers and create movies. So, it's something that I've been working on over, all my years at the Met so far. If you watch the webinar, we showed my video profile that I actually created as it's essentially schoolwork because that was listed as so LTI, we call it learning through interest. That's what we call our internship program. And while we were doing remote learning, they were saying, since we can't do in-person internships, for LTI, we just want you to make something you're passionate about. And I was well, I'm passionate about film and I don't really have a highlight reel yet. So let's get that done. And, we made that, and it's by far a video I'm the most proud of. But even before we were going into lockdown, I was making videos for other people as my internships and that kind of stuff. And as of right now for college courses, I'm taking a script writing class and a cinema analysis class. So it's I'm really using the tools I'm being given to just learn everything I can because I'm still in a period where I don't know everything about filmmaking, and that's okay. But now's the time to learn everything I can, and hopefully, by the time I graduate and go off to film school, which I plan to do, I'll be equipped and I'll feel more ready, because I already took that class. I'm aware of I don't need to take intro to script analysis. I already took that kind of stuff, So that's where I'm at right now, and I'm just trying to – I'm like a sponge. I'm soaking in everything I can just to learn the basics of film.
Good. I love it. And I just say I never tell this story, but about when I was a kid, my father was the manager of the local movie theater. Okay? So I got to see every movie 20 times. So I love movies. Okay? And I love the fact that you're doing this. And I just want to ask you this to put you into perspective. And this is a hard question. So I'll ask you for a couple. What are your favorite movies?
Oh, my goodness. That is a hard one.
I asked you for a couple because you don't have to name one. But it's just what comes to mind as a favorite movie.
Yeah, well, for me as a film geek, I love when things are technically sound, for me personally. So from a technical point of view, I love The Shining. I think it was beautifully shot. And just like
The Shining, Stephen
the
Stanley Kubrick Shining?
Stanley
The Shining?
Yes. I know it sounds a little bit like
Jack Nicholson. Jack Nicholson.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I just
love that.
Just the overall technicalities of the movie and the way it was shot and the colors are all just like so beautiful to me.
Agreed.
And the story was interesting too, but like mostly for me it was like the symbolism and the use of that was so interesting. And I'm not usually one for horror, so when I was like, it was a bit of a rush to watch it. I was so happy I did. So if you've never seen The Shining, I definitely recommend it.
Oh, I've seen The Shining. I have seen The Shining. I live in Maine. Stephen King lives around the corner from my daughter-in-law, okay, where she grew up.
Oh, wow.
In Bangor. Yeah, right around around the corner. And Stephen King's son, whose name is escaping me, lives in Exeter, New Hampshire, where my kids grew up. It's Joe Hill or something. But at any rate, okay, so I'm quite familiar with horror. And I'm just going to say to you, Wes Anderson, you love color, okay? And Anderson. Yeah, who does great, great color stuff. Okay, if you love that.
Yeah, I love to work with the Grand Budapest Hotel.
Thank you. That's exactly what I was thinking of. Okay, with the Grand Budapest Hotel. So we're on the same wavelength here. That is absolutely excellent. But, you know, and I want to ask you this, okay?
Okay.
You love movies. You love writing scripts. You love thinking about what you're going to do. Okay. But now you have to see. I think you do. Help me out here, as a matter of fact. Do you have to sit through your Algebra 2 course? Do you have to go through and take Algebra 2? Or what do you have to take over at the Met?
Yeah, so regarding mandatory classes at the Met, what I'm enrolled in so far is a humanities course, so that's just like English and history, the basic stuff. I'm actually in my last year of math that they offer at the Met. So next year my options are to not take it or go take a college course of math, which is what I plan to do to get my college courses out of the way before I leave for college. And then I'm also taking a Spanish course, just like all the general credits that you need in California in order to graduate. So it's just the stuff that everybody has to do. Like it or not, like you just got to get it done before you graduate. And with the way our classes are planned out, we only meet once a week. And we meet with our teachers, we go over our work for the week, and we're left to our own devices to get it done, you know? I've been telling a lot of people it's a college-like experience, you know, because you're being given all this work and it's up to you to stay on top of it. And because I chose to take two college courses, that's two additional courses, you know, so I don't really get to cut corners with my high school classes. So it's a lot of, like, planning out your work, writing it down, being like, oh, did I get this turned in on this day, like, by this time? So it's a lot of that, and especially with all this being online, like, it can be so confusing because you're, oh, I didn't see that notification, I didn't know that was due 2 hours earlier, like, all that kind of stuff. So you really have to stay on top of your stuff and make sure that, like, you're not missing a single beat.
Well, you really don't, and I'm curious, I want to swing back to your mom for a second. Melissa, are you there?
Yes.
Incredible daughter, you'll get in free to all her movies, by the way. That's okay. Maybe you won't. You better be nice. You never know. Okay. I'm curious about this. You know, we're talking about meeting the needs of every kid, but you also have to meet the needs of the state. Okay. You weren't the hook in that regard. You know that. Okay. How do you assess the kids? Okay. How's that come to fruition? As you're running a school that's really meeting these kids where they are, but you still have to assess them in terms of the state standards. Talk about that.
Yes. So we in California, we are beholden to the A to G standards. And so that means that she, Sophia described it really well. Yes, we have a baseline of classes which ensure that all of our students can graduate A to G compliant, right? And that's important just because in terms of that choice-filled life, we want kids to not have any doors closed to them. And that includes having all the coursework and checking all the boxes. But we work really hard to be as integrated as possible. So for instance, all of their humanities classes, which is their history classes, their English classes, their arts classes, we teach them fully integrated through a longer block where instead of having a separate, having a separate American lit and American history class, which is just silly, we teach it all integrated in a far longer block. So that's one way that we're able to.
I'll give you my theory on that, too. Let me just throw my theory in there for that. I'm the host. I can do this. Okay? My theory on that is nobody thinks for 45 minutes about Charles Dickens and then stops thinking about them and starts thinking about geometry for 45 minutes. Nobody in the world does that. Okay? And I don't know how the hell we got into a system of education that forces people to do that crazy thing. Your mind doesn't shift like that. But I digress. That's my bone to pick for today. And it's only 6:25 for you guys. So, go ahead. Anyway,
it's a good time for picking bones. That's true.
It is.
and then we do have the discrete math and science classes, which we also integrate and try to do as much real-world applicable learning through that as possible. So, I want to be very honest. In many ways, if you come to the Met and go check out a math class, it's going to look fairly linearly traditional, right? But all of the studies show that giving kids great mastery up to at least Algebra 1 and as much geometric concepts as possible, that's sort of the stuff that's really most important. Do they understand the baselines of the workings of math? So we do offer that. But what we say is we are offering you rock-solid bedrock. And then it's for each kid to build on top of that. So do you want to take more community college? Do you want to take trig and calculus? Well, my goodness, take that at the community college and get guaranteed credit for college if that's the direction you're going in, right?
Hmm.
Don't take it in AP and then roll the dice that on that one morning you're going to get up in the right state of mind, feeling great, and then killing a test to get credit that you should have earned anyway. Right?
Wow.
So what we say is, hey, okay, so here's your baseline, guys. And once you complete all this, the good news for us is most of our kids finish all of their required stuff by the time they reach their senior year. In their senior year, they're only taking their humanities class with us. That's it. And that's to get their government, their econ, and their 12th grade English, their fourth year of English.
Wow.
And that means that most of our seniors have an open playing field where they are spending even more time at internships, or they're loading up on 4 or 5 of the 200 or higher level community college courses, and they're really just steeped in this subject that they are ready. They're ready to be able to say, I think I want to study this at college. So, we do jump through the hoops, we do, and we don't have any difference than anyone else. I will say this too, when it comes to things like testing, we are moving strongly and almost completely standards-based now. So we are trying to move towards that mastery-based concept of it's not about the granular grading of particular assignments to point grub. It's about saying, hey, at your exhibition, let's talk about how you understand this concept and how you have dug into this inquiry that you did in your humanities class. And it's not about passing or failing a kid. I hate that terminology, right? That kid is failing. Who is failing that kid then, right?
Yeah.
So that's the question. And so we are moving towards...
Are we on the same wavelength? wavelength? I always say the word teacher is the wrong word for the profession. Okay, because it puts the emphasis on the teaching. That's not the emphasis.
That's right.
The emphasis is on the learning. Okay, and teachers need to be learning facilitators. In other words, a kid didn't fail. Who failed the kid? Okay, it's that interesting. Okay, and I just find. Go ahead, Mrs. Same Wavelength as Larry. Go ahead.
Yeah, no. So, I mean, so we do have to take the state tests. It's true. You know, I will be honest. When I first started at the Met, we were really looking at continuing the work of figuring out how do we do well math well in this sort of scenario. Math is always a difficult one. But I think really putting ourselves in that position of, okay, so let's instead of putting ourselves on the hamster wheel of just running this race towards calculus, which is a silly race for us to be running. Let's take a step back and really understand what our kids need, what is going to be in service of their future. And what we discovered really is that most kids need a good solid baseline in arithmetic-based math. And for those kids who are looking at pushing into the STEM fields, they do need access to the best level math they can get.
That's right.
Us, that was community college.
Exactly, right. And the whole thing has to be put in context, okay? And
that's
the
right.
context of math is quite simple. The hell with algebra and calculus and all that. If you want to go do that, that's fine. But the basis of math is logic, okay? If you understand math, you understand logic. Now, that was never, ever taught to me. I figured that out, and I'm an old guy. I figured that out about 6 minutes ago, okay?
Yeah.
But I went all through school, okay? And nobody bothered to teach me why I'm learning this stuff, which I never really learned, okay? Or why I should learn it, okay? It was just learned it for the sake of learning it, which made no sense to me. Okay, so we are on the same track here. But now I got to ask you – I want to ask you two questions, okay? One, how do you find the teachers – okay, who can work the way you want to work, okay, because they're trained differently, okay? And, you know, I was a high school teacher, so I know. And the other thing I want to ask you, and I'm going to go back to Sophia in a few minutes. We got about 12 minutes left, but I want to ask also, how's all this working during the pandemic? Are the kids still okay? Well, that's just a simple question. Are the kids okay during the pandemic? Is the system working?
I'm going to start with the first one, which is the easier question of the
two.
How
do you find the right teachers to work in this kind of universe?
You know, one of my fellow Big Picture leaders said to me once when I was starting with Big Picture, one of the best tools in my arsenal is gentle pressure relentlessly applied. And she talked excessively about how when you're in a district setting, I don't have full autonomy of hiring. Right? I don't. There are some times when somebody's been accessed from another site and they just get sent to an opening that I have. And I think there's two things that we do really purposefully. One is we are a unique program. And so we contractually are able to say, hey, look, we understand you were placed here, but you also accepted the position. So I want to tell you a little bit about our model and who we are, and most importantly, who we are not. And so we have a pretty good onboarding process where we are able to sit down and really lay out. I have to tell you, I've had teachers get placed at the Met who, after they onboard with me, it's about a two-hour meeting with me and a couple of other teachers. I've had them look at me at the end of that and go, I don't want to teach her.
Yep.
I don't want to do any of that.
Okay.
I just want to teach. Yep. And
yep.
I say, great. You need to go back
know
to the
thyself.
District and talk
yep.
to your HR. Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
Because if you don't want to teach kids and you just want to teach history, we're not the place for you, right? We need you to want the kids more than the subject.
Boy,
I think
it's great.
Yeah, which I'm so sad to say that that's a struggle sometimes, right? You know this, right? Teachers that are more concerned about their
JFK
processes
said,
and their procedures.
You don't do it because it's easy. You do it because it's hard. So struggle away.
That's
You're
right.
doing a good thing in the end. Okay,
yeah.
It's that simple. I want to just say or ask the pandemic how because this is a high interest school. Are the kids still engaged? I mean, I assume it's easier, but just talk to me. How are we doing with the pandemic?
Our kids are struggling. We know this because our advisors are in close contact. I feel blessed that we're able to know this better than so many other schools. I will say this, we are in contact with 100% of our students, which I don't think any other school
says it right there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's key.
Are all of them like fully engaged in the academic work? No. Some
kids.
Of them are really struggling emotionally. Some of them are struggling because their families have been super hard hit by this pandemic and they've experienced loss.
Absolutely.
But we're in contact with all of them, which means
that is key.
And I think that. Yeah, and we're proud of that.
Yeah. Yeah, you should be. You should be. And you can't perform miracles. All you can do is the best you can in this nutsy situation. Okay? But, again, you've got a high interest. Kids, you bend over to help to be right where these kids are. And so that's got to – that obviously with the 100%, I'll say it as attendance or at least knowledge of where the kids are is really, really something. And I want to swing back, and thank you, Melissa. Sophia – okay, just keep sipping that coffee, okay, the coffee, all right? And Sophia, you know, you go to this school. You're a student, and I know Mom's the principal, okay? But, you know, what's it like as a student to be able to manage your own learning? And not just from your point of view. I mean, you talk to your friends there. All right. Mm-hmm. Do they do all right with this kind of learning, or do they say, "Geez, I wish I learned more math," or whatever the case may be? Well, what do you hear from you? In other words, we want kids, okay, to be able to have access to the type of education they want and all the opportunity in the world, and we want that to be for every kid, be they their socioeconomic status, their gender, their sexuality, whatever. You can take any of those categories, okay? And as you as we talk about that, what do you hear from the students or your friends there and yourself about the learning?
Yeah, so what I will say, so one thing I value a lot of SimMet is the tight-knit community that we have. It's no matter your grade or anything, everybody knows everybody, which I love. You know everyone's name, everyone knows your name, and it's just an amazing feeling. And,
That's great.
Being a tight-knit community, it's a community of really ambitious kids. You know, so I will say I'm not the only one. There are tons of other kids like me at the Met who know what they want, and they're going to go get it. It really hit me in ninth grade when I was sitting in my advisor room. We were talking about the college classes we wanted to take, the internships we were getting, and I was like, this is a really ambitious group of kids. Like, kids are starting to figure out what they want to do. And if you don't know yet, that's okay, because those kids were trying to figure out what they wanted. And I had a lot of respect for that. Like, a great friend of mine in my advisory, he wants to he rides scooters, and he wants to go to the X Games and ride scooters for a living. He wants to get sponsors, and he's really great at it. And he was explaining to me, like, when we were getting to know each other, he was like, oh, yeah, this is something I'm passionate about. I'm trying to get an internship at the scooter shop. And from there, like, they sponsored him. He went to various competitions and, like, where he could – get seen by bigger sponsors. So it's just crazy. Like, there are a lot of kids who know what they want, and they're pushing for it. And when it comes to, like, the other classes, there are some times where kids will say, oh, I wish I learned this a bit more. But, like, overall, we know that we can go take community college courses to further our knowledge on whatever we want. The kids usually aren't complaining. And when it comes to, like, the standpoint of personalizing my learning, I love it. I wouldn't trade it for anything else.
Wow.
Funny story. So before I came to Met, I was planning to go to a completely traditional high school. The Met wasn't even in the conversation for me in eighth grade, because I was like, I'm just going to go to this big traditional high school that all my friends are going to, and I'll just be fine, and then I'll figure it out after I graduate.
But your mom was principal of the Met then, right? Your mom was principal of the Met, but you weren't thinking about
it.
Yeah, well.
I wasn't thinking about it. So we were having that conversation about high school as the year ended, and she sat down with me, and she said, as your mother and, you know, seeing how this school works, I don't think that's going to work for you. And at first I pushed back at it, and she talked me through it. She was like, okay, let me show you what we have. Come to a shadow day. And she explained, you can get this, you can get that. You already know what you want, so why would you waste your time doing unnecessary classes where they just push curriculum on you? And at first, I was really skeptical about it. I will say that, but you know, after going to a Big Bang the summer before and seeing, like, the whole operation up close, I was like, "Yeah, this, I need to be here. I know what I want to do. I can't go to a school where they're gonna limit what I can do." And I've never regretted the choice ever since. You know, I'm super happy here, and
I plan
to stay here.
That's great. No regrets, man. That's wonderful. We gotta go in just a minute. I want to go back to Nathan. Okay, and Sophia, Melissa, you two are wonderful. I can't thank you enough for getting up so early and sharing your thoughts with everyone. Oh, you guys are just wonderful. But Nathan, your series of conversations on equity, okay, which you guys put together from Fielding International, okay, and what we just heard from these two wonderful people, okay, equity, okay, just put it, designing schools for equity. You got a minute. Go ahead.
So what you just heard from Sophia and Melissa is what nearly everybody across the entire educational landscape wants right now for their kids. Kids who have real agency, kids who are cultivating their unique gifts. That's what equity in education means. And so when we're looking for the how, we start by listening. And the Equity Series, we heard these amazing equity leaders from Big Picture Learning, from High School for Recording Arts, from the Equity Institute, from High Tech High, that are really doing the work. And so if we listen to them, we start to understand how we can take whatever we are in our local communities, in our local context, and start applying some of those same things in our local setting. So I would encourage people who are listening, go back and listen to those equity talks. You can find them on our Fielding International YouTube station. The recordings of the three sessions are there. But there's all sorts of things that you can do right now, not a year from now, to get kids into this way of thinking. And if you're a teacher or a school leader, if you can pose an authentic challenge, and you can do this virtually, you don't have to wait till you're in person, pose an authentic challenge to a group of kids around some issue in their community. And it might be, how do we create a learning community model here at our school that builds the culture we want, that is moving towards the vision that we have? Because what we see at Fielding International all over, in pretty much every school around the world, they want to do what the San Diego Met School is doing in some capacity, not to replicate or make it exactly like that, but align your learning ecosystem so that the vision that you have, the outcomes that you want for your students are aligned to the learning environment, being out in the community, solving real-world problems, and then building those human capacities, the roles of your students, the roles of your learners and teachers, so that it really is around the relationship component. You just heard from both Sophia and Melissa that San Diego Met School, it all starts with relationships. That's how their advisors know that their kids are struggling right now. That's why they're still getting engagement, even though it is a hard time, because of relationships. So that's what we're doing at Fielding International. We're talking with schools and communities all around the world. How do we align our vision, our learning environment, and our human capacity? So that to me is what equity in education is. That's what the Equity Series was about. Go look at those recordings, because there's some phenomenal messages throughout all three sessions.
There are indeed, and we got to go again. Melissa, Sophia, thank you for getting up so early. You two are wonderful. Just have a great day today. Okay, I love you both.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Just terrific people. Okay, and Nathan, thank you. Okay, be good, guys. All right, you guys take care, and everybody, please don't take this pandemic light. Stay safe, and I thank you so much. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
You're welcome, everybody. Okay, Nathan Stenge from Fielding International. Go over to their website. It's fieldingintl.com, fieldingintl.com. There's great stuff on there about how to create a safe school for COVID, how to create a great learning environment. You can just tap in over there. You'll see it come up as an icon, okay, for the conversations on equity. Okay, and Melissa Agudelo, I hope I pronounced that right, over at San Diego Met High School. What a great place. And her daughter, who's a, you heard her, okay, Sophia Irvin. Okay, and thank you all, everybody. Stay safe. Please go over to ace-ed.org. Join with us. Look at our magazine. You'll enjoy that. Okay, and also you'll see all the podcasts over there. See what we do. We work for equity every day. ace-ed.org. I'm Larry Jacobs. Thanks for listening.